ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, banging away, Dave Allen.
Hey.
Your keyboard. That's what you're going to get for Christmas.
A quiet keyboard.
A quiet keyboard. A silent keyboard, if there is such a thing. But anyway, we're here today, and thank you for being here. And today is Wednesday, June 5th, Dave, 2019. It's Wednesday.
Hey, I was waiting for the hello, Dave. Welcome, Dave. It's happy hump day.
Yes, it is. And Wendy Wilson. She's missing in action today. How about that? She's missing in action today. She had some technical problems, and she normally joins us on Wednesdays, but we'll hear from her next week, I am sure. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, please support Wendy. You can give her a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Or give her check out our website, I should say, at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Well, Dave, it was an exciting day today. This morning, we had gold up almost another $20. Couldn't hold it, but it came out of the chute. Not quite sure what it was all about. But we're still looking at $390 for gold at $1,330. And yes, we've been here before. We keep hoping it goes higher. We hit that $14, but at least it's moving. It's doing something, and we'll see if it can break this trend of trading between, you know, $1,200 and $1,300, basically, that we have for the past couple of years. Action is beginning to pick up in the inquiries for gold and silver. Silver got hit a little bit today, and again, I think that platinum and palladium were just hit so hard it took silver down a little bit, because in the beginning it moved in conjunction with gold. We had 15.13 on the day for the high for silver, and we're currently at 14.88. So it did reverse itself after the platinum and palladium just took a tumble. Took a significant tumble. So silver again, 14.88, down 3 cents, had a high of 15.13 today. So hopefully it'll reattach itself to gold, as we've been seeing in the past couple of weeks that I've been talking about, that it has. It's breaking away from the industrial metals. Is it a full monetary metal as yet? Of course not. You know, we have to certainly see a whole lot more before we see this, but it's nice to see the action. Platinum was down $19 at $805 down 2.3%. Palladium was down 18 at 1335, down in 1.3%, a little over 1.3%. Let's see, where am I going from here? The USDX today was up 0.20 at 97.33. Now, when gold was up $20, there was pressure on the dollar, so that also recovered a little bit. But it was nice to see gold still higher, even though it did, even though the U.S. dollar recovered. Hammering crude oil again, 1.72 at 51.76. Paper markets today. Of course, the Dow was up 207 points, 25,539. The Nasdaq was up 48 points. 7,575, and the S&P was up 22 at 2,826. And of course, this is all on the back end of, you know, Jerome Powell talking about, we'll cut the rates, we'll support the markets, and that's all the markets needed to hear. Free money. Free money. We can continue to buy back our shares and share buybacks and at a very cheap price. Nothing.
And incur more debt.
Huh?
And incur more debt while we're at it.
Yep, absolutely. 10-year yield, 2.12%, 2.12%. Foreign markets were strong. Japan was strong, 1.80%, almost 2%. I guess that really is about, you know, it's difficult to see. We saw this big climb, And we're going to talk about this in the program, where we saw futures actually did touch at $13.49 an ounce. And of course, this came after the report on the private sector, the ADP report. We'll talk about this here in a little bit. They came out and only said 27,000 people in a month. This is the lowest since March of 2012. So, you know, that did put in the beginning a little bit pressure on the U.S. dollar. And of course, we're looking at the tariffs and the trade spats still that might be putting some upside momentum to gold. So it was really a nice day for gold. It was good to see some action, but we haven't seen anything yet. And this is what becomes exciting. What are we going to talk about today, Dave? Unusual for us to have this first segment, but I mentioned that we were going to talk about the job positions. 27,000 new positions during the month. Of course, this was by ADP, and their estimate was 173,000. That's a big difference, Dave. And again, this is the worst since the time around the economic expansion began. Since March of 2010, with a loss of 113,000. But it was just a couple months ago that the Fed came out, Dave, and said there was only 27,000 jobs created, I believe. Or was it 24,000 just a couple of months ago? So, but job growth is moderating. Labor shortages are impending job growth, particularly at small companies, and layoffs at brick-and-mortar retailers are hurting. The most damage came at companies with fewer than 50 employees that reported a loss of 52,000 jobs, and in the goods producing sector, which saw a decline of 43,000. Dave.
Yeah, almost all the small business loss came at firms with fewer than 20 employees, while the big loser in the goods sector was construction, where 36,000 positions were lost. Large companies withstood the last month's slowdown, adding 68,000 jobs, while those with 50 to 499 employees contributed 11,000. Now, the anemic May growth comes after a powerful surge, a reported surge in April of 271,000, the highest since July, though revised down from the initial reading. Private job creation in the ADP Moody's count has averaged 188,000 a month so far this year. Now, the disappointing report comes 2 days after, 2 days before the more closely watched official government reading on non-farm payrolls. Economists surveyed by the Dow Jones expect the Labor Department to report growth of 180,000 non-farm jobs, down from April's 263. And the unemployment report, they expect to hold the 50-year low of 3.6%, of course, again, excluding discouraged people and those who have just stopped looking. We'll see on Friday, Melody.
So we'll have those numbers, too. And you know what? 1 month does not make a trend, but it is really interesting. Now, this would be the second month where we were down in the, such low numbers. Was that December that we saw those numbers?
That sounds about right.
You know, when things were hitting so hard, or January, it was just a couple months ago. We'll look it up during the break to see exactly what month it is. But so it's interesting. Is this a big crack? What I find interesting is the construction, where you still had positions lost, considering. I mean, we're heading into summer and everybody is building homes. Everybody tells me that they're just building homes and everything, and it's everywhere.
So they may be building them, but there aren't enough people buying them.
Yeah. So, those lost and lower mortgage rates, they're not enticing home buyers much. We have the spring housing season. That's drawing to a close. Mortgage application volume fell 3.3% last week compared with the previous week. And this is, again, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Now, volume was 15% higher than the same week one year ago. And we actually had higher rates at that time. Mortgage refinance volume fell 6% for the week. And the average contract interest for the 30-year fixed rate mortgages were conforming loan balances of $484,000. That was less remained unchanged.
Yeah, Joe Kahn of the MBA said that concerns over European economic growth and ongoing uncertainty about the trade war with China were the main factors that kept mortgage rates low last week, or steady. Mortgage apps to purchase a home fell 1% for the week, but were 7% higher on a year-over-year basis. They've now fallen for three straight weeks. Buyers are up against sky-high home prices, but prices have been softening for several months now and are now seeing the smallest gains in 7 years. Sales were weak overall this spring because of short supply in the lower end of the market and high prices in the middle of the market. Lower mortgage rates appear not to be helping much at all. Joel Kahn, Kahn added, it's possible that the trade dispute is causing potential homeowners to hold off on buying. The fear that further escalation or the lack of resolution may have adverse effects on the economy and housing market.
I find that hard to believe. I mean, I get that, but I don't think the normal homeowner out there is probably doesn't even know what the trade dispute is, you know, or they don't understand how it's going to filter through and so forth. I think it's more, to me personally, I think it's lack of wage increases. I think it's the amount of debt we just talked about last week, or it was even Monday, where there's more more basic needs again are being added to the credit card debt. We did have that, we did see the increase in rates, and maybe that, you know, made their payments a little bit higher, that they're trying to catch up. We certainly have seen gasoline prices rise. So, and if there's only 27,000 jobs reported, you know, it might be a little bit harder. People are losing their jobs. So I think that might have a little bit more impact than perhaps the trade dispute, because I just don't think people are that in tuned to what's going on, you know, unless you're, you know, closer to a farmer or something and can actually have that impact. So that's my thought. I'm sticking to it. And the market rally today, as reported, the U.S. stock soared, the S&P index gained, and we also had Jerome Powell, as I mentioned earlier, that the market interpreted as decidedly dovish when he talked about possibly cutting interest rates. He says he will act as appropriate to sustain the expansion.
What a guy.
Yeah, isn't he? I know, it just irritates me. Hey, you call him a few names, it'll do whatever you want him to do.
The next time I hear someone say that the Fed doesn't manipulate the economy, I think I'm just, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm certainly going to laugh, and I'll laugh at that person, not laugh with him. All respect due. I mean, it's their reason for being these days, if not, you know, ever since we went off the gold standard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you got government behind it, too. You know, they saw things falling apart. You saw President Trump coming out there threatening them, warning them, and everything like that. And Powell accommodated them. So, you know, they're in bed together and they control it. And you know, but they can't control it forever, because it just takes one little thing to get out of their control. Just like what they saw in 2008, they couldn't control that. They couldn't control that until they printed trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And look where it got us. We've got the same problems. It wasn't fixed. Heck, I can't remember the last time we came out of recession that things were actually fixed. They just created more debt to make it look like everything was perfect. They created the, you know, the illusion that everything is grand, and they lie to you. That helps too. And people believe it. So anyway, Dave, I don't want to get on to another rant, so take it away.
Well, you know, it seems like, you know, whatever, it's like the old E.F. Hutton commercial, when Powell talks, people drop what they're doing and listen. You know, at the beginning of May, he upset the markets by saying that the current low rates of inflation are likely transitory in nature, that the central bank doesn't see a strong case for moving rates down or up. But the comments didn't exactly jive with the growing consensus that inflation's low for structural reasons. You know, as of yesterday, for instance, the break-even rates on Treasuries suggested that traders don't see inflation meeting the Fed's 2% target any time over the next decade. To be clear, no one ever said the Fed has to take its cue from markets in setting monetary policy. But it's become important for the Fed's credibility on Wall Street anyway. The policymakers show they're not completely dissing the message that markets are sending at any given time. You know, I, for one, can see the Fed cutting rates, already low by historical standards, by 50 to 75 basis points, just in time for the coming recession to kick in. And that's going to leave the Fed with woefully little room to maneuver for stimulus unless they decide to unload a big remaining chunk of their treasury assets. And what that does, Melody, it puts the onus on our friends in the House and Senate in Washington, D.C., God knows where that could lead us. Certainly, in Toy Story, you know, with his arm raised up to infinity and beyond, goes the debt, that is.
Yes, it does. And there will be stimulus. There will be quantitative easing. There'll be everything. They'll try just to keep it together, you know, unless it is their decision to let her go. And, you know, but how much more can they put into it? I mean, we're just not talking about here in the United States. We're talking about a global situation. And every country, China, Japan, Europe, they've all been pumping money into their system already. We've been pumping money into our system. They just haven't called it stimulus, you know. But it is. What do you think the tax cuts were? It was stimulus. On the backs of the taxpayers, just to keep the system going. It just amazes me. It's like, why can't anybody see this for what it is? And if we talk about this to anyone, they look at us like we're insane. And yet it's the system. It's everybody else that's insane. Think that they can keep this going without any...
We're in an age of denial, Melody.
I know. What I can't deny is our break. We're heading into it right now. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, these programs are archived on a daily basis, weekly, monthly, yearly. So if you don't have anything to do and you're tired of watching all that junk on TV and you want to listen to some good programs, we got years of programs for you to listen to. So get to the website, dgscoins.com. Great prices, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if this big, we've had a big move in gold. We might see a little bit of a pullback tomorrow. I mean, everything is going to be happy while they're doing the, while they're honoring the Normandy tomorrow, the D-Day and so forth. So I would, at least until Friday and this jobs report comes out, not sure what might happen. So I can see the markets up again today or tomorrow. You know, maybe gold has a little bit of pullback, although the Dow is up 700 points in, what, 2 days? So, yeah, it might come back a little bit, but I don't think you're going to see any major changes tomorrow unless something major happens until Friday. So, with that said, get it while you can. 800-375-4188, and that's your gold and silver coins. You know, today we've seen, you know, I'm not fond. I mean, if you look to D.C. and the biggest thing on their, you know, the biggest thing on their agenda is Congress is looking for an increase in wages to over 3%. That's more than what they normally would get, and that's, what, 2.6% or something like that. And it's just really irritating because they shouldn't get anything at all, the way I see it. And so now we're beginning to see some of the Republicans. They've been quiet for a long time, and as they should be, as they supported President Trump. But this time, you have some Senate Republicans that are kind of pushing back a little bit on the tariffs on Mexico. Now, what's interesting is the tariffs haven't even happened yet, but they're including a threat of a veto override. And this came after President Trump had scoffed at the possibility that members of his own party would try to block his plan to impose a tariff on Mexico over concerns about the potential economic fallout. Well, aren't we already having economic fallout with the amount of cost that we have because this immigration situation isn't being taken care of? If Senator Kevin Cramer, a North Dakota Republican, predicted that the Senate would have enough votes to override a presidential veto of any measure that would keep Trump's tariffs on Mexico from going into effect on the 10th, which I believe is Monday. Is that correct, Dave?
1, 2, 3. Yes, it is.
All right. Trump said he didn't think his party would scuttle his plan to impose 5% tariffs on all goods unless the country takes unspecified steps to stop illegal migration from Central America. And I don't think 5% tariffs is going to kill anybody, but anyway, Dave.
Well, it's not, probably, you're probably right, but it's the threat of 5% per month up to 25%, which would be, that'd be a big impact on some companies and American consumers. I mean, few lawmakers said they'd support Trump's tariff plan. You know, which again would escalate by 5% a month until it reaches 25% in October. So the White House says the justification for the tariffs rests on Trump's declaration of a national emergency from earlier this year. Congress says it could revive a resolution of disapproval that already passed both chambers, but that failed to get enough votes in the House to override Trump's veto. Now, if the White House declares a new national emergency, Congress could pass a new resolution of disapproval, effectively removing the provision the president would have to cite to have the power to impose tariffs. Trump said he remained confident that he won't be thwarted by members of his own party, citing his tremendous support within the GOP. And he did leave open the possibility that negotiations with Mexico could forestall imposition of the duties. But I think, I'm quoting him now, but I think it's more likely that tariffs go on, end quote. Mexico's foreign minister and a couple of other officials from south of the border are in Washington today talking with administration officials about how they can stem the flow of illegal immigration into Texas and other southern states.
Well, I, you know, you have to ask yourself, how does this all play with the trade agreement, the USMC, or whatever that's called, the new NAFTA? You know, because Mexico was sort of dragging its feet in signing and getting it ratified. I don't even think we've ratified it yet.
No, we haven't.
Canada has agreed to. We did take off the duties on the aluminum, and was it steel? I believe some aluminum and some steel.
Yep.
So that was the demand from Canada and from Mexico. So we did that, and you still have Mexico dragging its feet. So my question is, perhaps, or not my question, but my thought is, perhaps all of this tariff news is all more so related to the trade agreement than actually the immigration.
Or it could be because, I mean, conventional wisdom is the Democrats won't bring up UMSCA in the House. You know, as long as these tariffs now are hanging out there, so that could be considered negotiating leverage by. You know, Nancy Pelosi and her leadership in the House. So it could forestall congressional consideration of the treaty unless it's just going to go to the Senate as a treaty ratification.
And the thing of it is, it was just months ago that we gave Mexico, some Latin American countries, was it $5-10 billion? So this comes after we give them that money to fix the immigration problem, which we said here in this program, it probably go in most of the Mexican, I don't know, I'm just assuming that, you know, probably found its way into a lot of pockets and didn't do anything to the immigration or any help and so forth. We're certainly not going to change their regime or anything like that. So I don't know. I think it has more to do with the trade agreements and so forth. And I was reading an article earlier, Dave, because I said, you know, maybe they're just using these tariffs. They're using the stock markets, the paper markets as leverage to get things done.
Who?
I think the administration could be using the markets, the ups and downs of these markets, in order to get what they need. And I actually saw an article that somebody was writing about how dangerous it could be if this is what's actually going on. So I mean, there's no way to, you know, see if that's exactly what's happening. But if you see what is moving the markets at any given time and what brings it back, I mean, it's been such a yo-yo based on what President Trump says that about trade and so forth with China, and now with this Mexico deal and so forth. It seems like Trump's pivot to using tariffs as a political weapon could be dangerous. But anyway,
clearly,
so someone else is seeing it the same way as I am. But with that said, this cracks me up. Wall Street's main overseer, which is the SEC, has approved new conflict of interest rules for brokers. It just, you know, new. You know, what was wrong with the old? Oh, they didn't have any. Okay.
Well, they did.
Okay.
They did. They just didn't like the fact that it came under the previous administration.
Oh, okay. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, well, sure. I mean, it just, you know, the Securities and Exchange Commission today approved by a 2-1 vote, I believe, it was a divided vote, requiring brokers to act in the best interest of clients. La-di-da.
Shouldn't they always be acting in the best
interest? Of course, of course. But without adequate regulation, you know, they say one, a lot of them have said one thing, but have done another. You know, what it actually means, you know, remains in dispute. The changes are unlikely to end, you know, what's now turned into a decade-long fight over these protections. The SEC's chair, Jay Clayton, said at the public meeting this morning that the agency's action will enhance the quality and transparency of services that financial firms provide the clients, particularly when it comes to disclosing conflicts. You know, he added that the rules, which are similar to a version that the SEC first proposed in April of last year, clears up confusion that customers were having regarding the different codes of conduct that apply to brokers and investment advisors. Do you want to continue, or do you want me
to
finish?
How does that affect, how and why does it affect tens of millions of investors?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, the industry, for one thing. I mean, they successfully sued to overturn Obama-era rules, you know, that were more stringent, you know, and it's only heightened concern among opponents to the SEC's announcement today that these measures are a giveaway to bankers, you know, and they'll only confuse investors. I mean, some are already contemplating a legal challenge, reportedly, and, you know, have already been mobilizing a public campaign against the SEC. You know, Jackson, the commissioner, again, argued, he's the minority commissioner who voted against this new regulation, argued that the rules don't force Wall Street to put investor interest first, while even the SEC's in-house investor advocate criticized the measures for weakening the existing standards. Now, until the actual language of these rules come out, you know, talk about, you know, transparency. I mean, it's hard for us to, you know, to argue pro and con, you know, about, you know, whether these new rules are going to, you know, really help Joe and Sally Public when they sit down with their investment banker. Branch manager, or I mean, it's a little different when you're with a registered investment advisor or certified financial planner, because they, while they're subject to certain federal regulations, they have their own organizational rules that are stricter than you know, what's on the federal book. So, curious, Melody. Curious.
So is this just supposed to make everybody all warm and fuzzy inside that they're at?
Oh, I suspect so. You know, they did their duty, and now we can move on to the next controversy. Another day, another drama.
Another day, another drama. And it can look like they're actually doing something for the goodness of the people. I know it is.
I know.
Anyway, it is really interesting just the way how Brent crude is just sinking.
How about it?
You know, we
up and down.
No,
crazy.
But I mean, it's the drop in this past week has just been incredible. We have the Brent crude futures; they tumbled below $60 a barrel after report showed that the U.S. crude and the fuel inventories ballooning by the most in almost 30 years, feeding fears of a glut as trade disputes threaten the demand. We saw the global benchmark fall as low as 59.45, the lowest since January, after the U.S. government data showed America's total petroleum stockpiles grew by about 22 billion barrels last week.
Million.
And that was the, pardon?
22
million barrels last week. And that was the biggest jump going all the way back to 1990.
Jeez.
U.S., huh?
Jeez.
I don't know. U.S. crude production also set a record. And Matt Solly, he's a portfolio manager at Tortoise Capital Advisors, said that he wouldn't be surprised to see a real meltdown in the prices. But you know what, Dave? Gasoline prices are skyrocketing, if anybody has taken any notice.
Well, they have over the last couple of months. This past week, at least in my area, southeastern Pennsylvania, which happens to have a lot of oil production nearby, have actually gone down. They've dropped about 7-8 cents maybe a gallon, but it's still, you know, $2.91 a gallon for regular grade. But summer, we're also reading that this sudden price drop has raised the chances that OPEC and its partners are going to extend production curbs past a June deadline. You know, OPEC Secretary General Mohamed Barkindo told an investment conference in New York today that the group will take the current economic bearishness into account when it meets again in coming weeks. So that certainly something that we'll be keeping our eyes on here at Financial Survival.
And you know what, this is just kind of, Republicans and Democratic senators said today that they would try to pass 22 separate joint resolutions that have passed. It would block the president's plan to complete the $8 billion of military sales to Saudi Arabia and the UAE without congressional review. Backer said the introduction of the resolutions were intended to protect and reaffirm Congress's role of approving arms sales to foreign governments. And, of course, this announcement has followed the furious rejection in Congress late last month of the Trump's administration's declaration that a growing threat from Iran was an emergency. You know, you all know my thoughts on Yemen, that we're supporting that war, and we're giving them all these arms sales. And I don't know if we're going to talk a little bit about this, but I did not know that we also gave Saudi Arabia nuclear information. But so only one senator had said that we're taking this step today to show that we will not stand idly by and allow the president or the secretary of state to further erode congressional review and oversight of arms sales. We're heading into a break. We're going to finish this up when we come back. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. On the line, I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Well, we're just finishing up about the Senate trying to block the Saudi arms sales. And, you know, I get it's a dangerous world out there. And declaring the emergency, the Trump administration formed congressional committees on May 24th that it was going ahead with 22 military deals worth $8.1 billion. So the decision to bypass Congress angered both parties. But, you know, hey, they don't do anything anyway, so I can understand why you'd want to bypass them, but, you know, you just can't. But I guess it's, I don't know. Anyway, so let's move on to something else, Dave. What's next?
Well, let's talk about corporate borrowing.
Okay.
You know, those paying attention already know the Fed has already broadcast what the next crisis will be, corporate bonds. I mean, we're in the midst of it. When the Fed cut interest rates to zero, you know, in 2008 and held them there for several years, it gave the green light to corporations and individuals to go on a massive borrowing spree, and that they've done. You know, after all, you know, if you're the CEO of a company and taking on debt suddenly costs nothing, why wouldn't you start borrowing? You know, and if you get a $10,000 air conditioning system, and you have the choice between paying all of it up front or paying it off over a year at zero interest, I mean, why wouldn't you pay it off over a year if you think, you know, your money, that $10,000 placed in even a 2% vehicle, you know, could earn you more? And think of the potential, you know, the safety if you had that $10,000 in gold. Well, in any event, it took U.S. corporations 50 years to hit $3 trillion in debt, but they doubled that in the last 8 years, thanks to the Fed's zero interest rate policy. You know, all this new debt was based on the idea that interest rates would stay near zero virtually forever. Put another way, you know, maybe it wasn't virtually forever, but indefinitely is certainly, I believe, accurate to say. Put another way, the entire U.S. corporate sector now has become one gigantic leveraged bet on interest rates staying low, and no wonder so many of them, you know, are calling for the Fed to cut rates further.
That's exactly what it's all about. And the New York Fed had admitted as much in a piece published last week. After falling in the initial recovery from the Great Recession, corporate debt to GDP has increased to its highest level in 50 years. Mm. An economy with 50% highly levered companies and 50% unlevered companies has the same aggregate leverage as an economy with 100% companies at a median leverage level, but is likely more vulnerable to any negative shock. So in simple terms, the Fed is admitting that the concentration of highly leveraged corporations has opened the door to a crisis. And of course, we all know what the $64,000 question is. When is it going to hit? You know, we see the market is telling us, it's giving us signs. We see those two by fours floating through the air. You know, the junk bond ETF, for example, has broken its bull market trend line, and it's been rejected by former support. So what happens to stocks once this bubble bursts? Well, we don't know for sure, but I think we're going to find out real soon, Dave.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You know, we're getting older and everybody goes to the doctor. We get tons of all kinds of tests and blood tests and everything like that. Well, this is real disturbing. Quest Diagnostics. has announced it was notified by a billing collections vendor that an unauthorized user gained access to information on nearly 12 million patients. Now, this includes credit card numbers and bank account information. The company, I don't know why you would have a diagnostics. How would they have bank account information?
Well, if you have a copay.
Social Security, yeah, copay.
If you have a copay or a balance bill, you know, that's my guess. And most people probably now either pay it online or go to the office, use a credit card.
Credit card. Well, the company has not received all the information about the incident from American Medical Collection Agency and has not been able to verify the accuracy of the information received. Optum 360 is a unit of United Healthcare, or Health Group, was also notified of the breach. And Optimum 360 provides customer billing services to Quest Diagnostics. The AMCA collection agency said that the user had access to its system between August 1st and March 30th. That's a pretty big time span. So, you know, it really all happened about, you know, August 2nd.
Yeah, the information also reportedly includes medical data and other personal details like Social Security numbers. Patient lab test results were not impacted by this incident, however, according to Quest. The company said it suspended the collection request by the AMCA agency and said it was working with them and Optimum 360, as well as outside security experts, to investigate its potential impact on its patients. I guess more information is to come. I guess here comes another opportunity for free access to your credit reports, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, you have to question, though, about the medical data and laboratory results. You know, it just... If someone gets in there and hacks, you can't imagine that they wouldn't want to do anything else.
Yeah, but I think the key in this case is that this information didn't come from Quest directly. It came from one of their vendors. And so the hack wasn't into Quest's database per se, where they presumably keep, you know, their patient lab results. And, you know, whatever other personal information is in there. So I think that's what distinguishes, you know, the medical information from, you know, the financial or credit card information in this case. Still a serious breach. But I think, you know, it is credible, you know, in theory. Now,
12 million people.
Yeah.
What was that other lady? Remember that CEO that created this lab company? I can't recall the results of that. And I guess she's heading to jail because they just falsified all those reports.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, out in Silicon Valley. I forget her name, too. That she was an up-and-comer who at the very minimum, got greedy and enjoyed the power that she had in running a country and a company and being, you know, recognized in the industry as, you know, one of the future corporate leaders of America.
You know, today I was driving around, and of course everyone is talking about President Trump being in Europe and D-Day, and the world leaders are commemorating D-Day, and there was one particular program where she had callers, and they shared stories of maybe family members and or how their families were impacted, and it was quite moving, and I'm anxious to watch some of the footage of these of what's going on as they commemorate the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings. And so the world leaders, they arrived in helicopters, armored convoys, surrounded by massive security. Aging veterans came in wheelchairs, aided by canes, leaning on children and grandchildren. And they gathered today to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings, still the largest combined naval, air, and land assault in history. French President Emmanuel Macron read a letter from a resistance fighter named Henri Ferté, who was executed at age 16. He says, "I'm going to die for my country," he wrote in French to his parents. "I do not doubt that you will remain courageous, if only out of love for me." British Prime Minister Theresa May read another letter penned by British Army Captain Norman Skinner to his wife Gladys on the eve of the landings at Normandy beaches, a day that could change the face of the war, Dave.
Yeah, Skinner wrote, "Although I would give anything to be back with you, I have not yet had any wish at all to back down from the job we have to do." He told her that he loved her, and that letter was in his pocket when he was killed the next day. When Donald Trump took the stage, the president read a prayer that President FDR spoke over the radio to the country on the eve of D-Day. And it goes, "Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day we have set upon a mighty endeavor to struggle, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity." Over 300 vets of the D-Day assault to liberate Europe were also on hand. One of them, Arthur Hampson, who turned 93 today, said, "I don't regard myself as a hero. We had a job to do. We didn't want to let anyone down. But we also didn't want to die." He said that if he were shot, he hoped the bullet would go clean through and kill him. He returned to Portsmouth that same night and sipped a quiet pint in a pub. He recalled thinking to himself, "I can't believe what we'd gone through that day." Amen, Melody.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's regardless of, you know, what anybody thinks and the stories and so forth, the war itself, it's, you know, it's... we're going to move on.
Goosebump worthy, indeed.
Yeah. Yes. See, we got about, 4 minutes left of the program, and we can talk a little bit about low gold silver volatility suggests higher prices that are coming. And of course, you all know I love gold and silver. Mm-hmm. And but volatility readings have fallen so far. In fact, that silver has matched its all-time low is further confirmation of the inconsistent level of interest in precious metals. And you know, as long-term investors know, extreme readings don't last indefinitely. Further, the longer they spend at the fringes of their typical range, the more steam builds up, making a reversal to the opposite extremely likely. And that's what I've said. We're going to see some huge jumps in these metals. It just needs the right fuel in order to get them going. And we're not sure when that fuel will be added, but they're going to pop. Both gold and silver. And when you combine that probability with some projection about what's ahead for the global markets and monetary systems, the coming spike in volatility will be a lot of fun for those of us that have stayed long and strong.
Yeah, here. You know, over the last nearly 30 years, only 2 years registered lower volatility, Melody, than what we've seen so far this year. Those extreme low readings in the mid-1970s also led to a doubling in volatility. And those volatility levels remained at least twice as high until last year. It's important to note that jumps in volatility don't necessarily tell us which direction the price of gold and silver is going. It doesn't even tell us if by the end of the year the price will be different at all. You know, the price could be highly volatile, but, you know, not be any higher or lower than where it started. What history does tell us, though, is that low volatility leads to high volatility. And it's that cycle that repeats in many different forms of investment, especially gold and silver. And given that prices are low now, just like in the 1970s, odds are good that higher prices will be the result of the coming spike in volatility. Don't wait for the gold and silver prices to spike, ladies and gentlemen. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading today at 1-800-375-4188.
You know, we just have a couple of minutes. We didn't get to your brevity is golden.
Ah, so It'll be good for Friday.
We'll save that for Friday. But what I didn't know also today was that the House passed a bill yesterday to give more than the 2 million undocumented immigrants a chance at legal status and eventually U.S. citizen. And the Senate's not going to pass it. They're not going to sign off on it. Dave?
It's likely to go anywhere, unless there's some trading that, that results between now and, next December, the end of the congressional session. but I agree with you. It faces really tough odds, just because of the divisiveness in Washington and in Congress in particular. We have not heard from the president or the administration, at least I haven't yet, as of how they feel, what their position is on this House bill. There are some provisions that they'd probably support, like giving the Secretary of Homeland Security some additional discretion, with certain juvenile court records and gang affiliations.
Well, we'll see where that goes. Stay tuned. But I thought it was interesting that it was passed with not a lot said about that. But I'm going to say a lot to make sure that you guys tune in tomorrow. I'll be here tomorrow. And Dave, you'll be back Friday. And until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe. Good night. And God bless.
Bye-bye. That's too bad.